Joseph M. Ashley, a doctor of rehabilitation and nationally recognized industry leader who is blind, brings a personal commitment and over 30 years of leadership in developing services and creating opportunities for individuals with disabilities to support their choice to live, work, and thrive in their communities.
Welcome to today's episode of The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Today we've got some guests for you that I think you'll find very interesting. We're going to talk about a program called Leap into Linux that's going on right now at the Virginia Center for the Blind and Vision Impaired. And we have with us today very important people to this effort. So we're going to start today with Dr. Chuck Gardner and then go over to Tish Harris, who works for DBVI. And then Jay, who is a mentor at the camp. So, Chuck and Tish, welcome to The Blind Experience.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, Chuck, can you really give us an overview? I think it's important to start with what is cyber.org, because that's the organization that really helped us get this thing started as a part of a grant called the Career Pathways for Individuals with Disabilities. And can you tell us about the cyber.org and then how it fits into this effort?
Of course. Thank you. It's great to be here, Joe. Again, thanks for having us. And as you mentioned, the camp is going on right now. We've got 16 students down the hall. We've got a number of mentors and DBVI staff. And as Joe mentioned, I'm here from cyber.org. So my name is Dr. Chuck Gardner. I'm the associate director of cyber.org. We're based out of Bossier City, Louisiana, and we're funded through a grant from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA. And with that grant, it gives us the great privilege of writing curriculum, giving it away to teachers across the country at no cost, supporting them with free professional development, working with state departments of education, school districts, boards of ed, to make everyone aware of opportunities for cybersecurity instruction in K-12. And again, I have a team of all former educators that write curriculum. We host it online. We're supporting professional development both virtually and in person. And one of the things we've been doing since 2016 is working with Tish and the Department for the Blind and Vision Impaired to make some of our curriculum accessible and bring it to the students here in Richmond in a summer camp format that's engaging, enriching, enlightening, and most of all, hands-on, so that they can explore some of these opportunities that maybe hadn't been available to them before for career awareness.
So what you're really doing, Chuck, is taking a look at the curriculum, and you work with the DBVI staff to make sure you could make it accessible, which I think took a little bit of effort and rethinking of things, and then put it in a format that the students could come and experience things, hands-on kinds of things. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on with that?
Oh, yeah. So back in 2015, we got invited by the Virginia Department of Ed to bring a cyber summer camp to the students across the state, across the Commonwealth. And we worked with the department to identify a curriculum that we could use over a three-week summer camp. And it turned out that a course we have called Cyber Literacy, which is based on a robotics platform from Parallax, was the best fit. It provided a nice overview of what it means to be a cyber citizen. Appropriate discussion of electronics and electricity and circuits. But then we built this robot that was programmed in a text-based programming environment called BASIC. And it gave us an opportunity to explore, artificial intelligence, sensors and devices learning from their environment and making logical decisions. But we also had conversations with students about what it means to be a cyber citizen. And, you know, just because you can build it doesn't mean you should. And that worked great for a traditional classroom. My team at the time was based on all, you know, traditional classroom experience. That program went out to over 230 teachers across the state. Over 700 students in the summer of 2016 were impacted by that camp. And then, as the story goes, DBVI heard of some of the opportunities that those students were getting and said, we've got a population who's interested in this opportunity, too. And they reached out to the Department of Ed to find out who the curriculum provider was, got in touch with cyber.org. We could go on all day, so let me cut to the chase.
Okay.
we got connected. Tish and I met, and we got introduced to the staff here at DBVI. And, you know, is your curriculum accessible? At the time, me and my team said, I have no idea. So we brought everything we had. We brought everything in the kitchen sink down to Richmond, met the team, threw it on the table, and said, You know, what can we turn into a summer camp? And as it turns out, the latest and the greatest, we couldn't use it because it wasn't, it didn't work well with the accessible technology. The Bobot, this basic programmed robot, was the platform that worked with everything we needed for the summer camp. We worked with the training staff here at DBVI and came together for a week-long opportunity that brought all of the same sensors, platforms, instructional techniques from the traditional classroom to this group here. And it was that first 2017 camp was a wonderful, accessible experience.
And one of the things that I think is interesting as you were going through the camp, I think the students surprised you in how fast they picked up.
Oh, yeah. So we plan for the best, right? You what's the expression? Plan for the worst, hope for the best. We planned for the best and didn't expect the worst, and it wasn't the worst. But what happened was we planned to give the students brand new bots in a box that required a significant amount of assembly. We've done hundreds of bot assembly workshops before this first camp, and we know teachers and typical students are going to take 4-5 hours to put these bots together. They're small pieces. There's a tiny little screwdriver, and they've got to do a lot of assembly. So I planned on most of the first day being spent on bot assembly. We showed up 8 o'clock Monday morning. We distribute the bots. We talk through the first lesson, and then we start bot assembly. And Tish, was it before lunch we were done?
Yes, before lunch. Dr. Gardner came to me, and he said, "Tish, we have a problem." And I'm like, what's our problem? Are we not moving fast enough?
Yeah, that was definitely not the problem. These students were doing great. And it really set the expectation for the rest of the week that everything that we had assumed, right, about students with visual impairments or any other condition in the classroom was an incorrect assumption. And we had to up our game to meet the expectations of the students.
So you had to change your curriculum to keep up with the students,
it sure sounds like.
And how did they compare to the students from the other career and tech ed classes? Did they keep up with those kids?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And we talk often throughout these camps that we host that we're dealing with a classroom full of problem solvers. These kids are creative. They think on their feet. And they've been problem solving since the day they were born. And we give them these obstacles, what seem like obstacles in a traditional classroom. And these kids just steamroll right past it. We give them an objective. Here's this new sensor. This is what it does. Here's the code for it. And 5 minutes later, they're moving on to the next task, which would normally take an hour or two.
They took it all in stride.
You sure did. Yep. Yeah.
That first year when I came by and saw the rodeo you had at the end where the students showed off their projects, and they had the one young man doing the he got his stand-up comedy routine with a sarcastic robot. I was just amazing with his timing. Yeah. But now you've leaped into Linux. So why the change to Linux?
So we did robotics for 3 years in DBVI, 2017, 2018, 2019. We had to take 2020 off for COVID. But Tish and I, we had a conversation, what's next, right? We've done robotics. What's next? What other, you know, real-world opportunities can we give to these students? And cyber.org had begun working with cybersecurity curriculum. And ideally, we wanted to go a cybersecurity route with the students. So again, we brought everything plus the kitchen sink to see what would work with assistive technology. And as it turns out, a lot of the tools that are used to practice cybersecurity do not play well with assistive technology. We were able to fire up some virtual Linux systems on their Windows PCs. And when it came down to it, we wanted to do things like do some pen testing exercises, but a lot of the tools that allow us to practice that are not friendly.
We really don't know what pen testing is.
Sure. Pen testing is a skill in cybersecurity that when in its long form is referred to as penetration testing.
Okay.
So I'm going to test the defenses of a system.
Okay.
That might involve...
So hacking.
loosely. it might involve getting access to a password file and seeing if all employees are using good password practices. It might involve sending out a phishing email to see if I can get someone to click on a malicious link.
So it's a way to make sure people are doing the things they're supposed to do on the security side.
So that didn't really work well. So our first year of Leap into Linux became more of an HTML opportunity. Let's take a look at accessible websites. Let's build accessible websites. And at the end of the week, all the students through this Linux platform that we put on everybody's machine was able to build their own website that they could then show off to their parents.
Okay.
The second year, all right, here we are now, the second year, we're testing more things. And we actually found that we can do some pen testing operations with the students. For example, yesterday we did break passwords to see, to test the strength of passwords. We did do a little credential harvesting so that we could show students what fake websites look like.
So basically, you're saying in a week's time, these students have learned a lot about the security issues that they might be facing and are immersed in building their own website.
Yeah. Let's just say eyes were opened yesterday.
Yeah.
Eyes were
opened. That's pretty exciting to be able to do that with these kids in a week.
And Dr. Gardner had one of his students come and say, I hacked myself.
Okay. Now, Tish, how does this fit into DBVI?
At DBVI, we really are passionate about giving our students the opportunity to explore careers. And unfortunately, many of our students do not have the same opportunities as other students to take computer science classes, or they're not encouraged to take CTE classes. Yeah. So we decided we're going to take care of that. And Dr. Gardner offered us this wonderful curriculum that he made accessible that our students can use screen readers, JAWS, Zoom text. They can use their assistive technology and they can learn cybersecurity. Today, we had a guest from Palo Alto who came in and talked to our students. And Dr. Gardner, how many open jobs did he tell us there were in cybersecurity?
Yeah, so real quick, credit goes to Dr. Thomas Trevathan from Palo Alto Networks. They get a little insulted if we don't throw the whole networks piece in there, even though they're not a networking company, Palo Alto Networks. Mm-hmm. But I kid because I care. They have 750,000 jobs across the country, 56,000 in Virginia alone in the area of cybersecurity.
So in other words, if you're thinking career pathways, you're exposing these students to things that would be readily available jobs if they chose this field.
Absolutely. And yesterday, what was really interesting is that three of our students yesterday approached either Dr. Gardner or myself and said, I love this. I've never done this before. How do I keep going? And one young lady even asked Dr. Gardner, what does this career path look like? So we are thrilled that they are getting this experience. And you know what? Even if they decide that, well, maybe cyber isn't the career for me, it's still great. It's a win-win because they know how to keep themselves safe online.
That's true. And they've also explored something and decided it's either right for them or not right for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Tish, what other kinds of things do you do with the students? They're here on campus for a week, so you've got them in the evening. Are you doing anything around confidence building?
Oh, yes. We are working on team building, communication skills, confidence building. So the first night that the students arrived, we put them on teams, and each mentor had a team, and we had bowling. And a lot of our students, believe it or not, were from rural areas, and they're like, we've never bowled. Can I do this? We're like, sure you can. So you know how you get a Super Bowl ring when the Super Bowl? Where our top five Super Bowlers got their own Super Bowler ring yesterday. Oh, yes. And we've also worked with David from Comedy Improv. We're working on communication skills. We do some things in the rec center, basketball. You know, some of our kids say, well, I'm blind. How can I play basketball? Well, let us show you.
So you're giving them a lot of opportunity to explore things that they wouldn't get otherwise.
Oh, yes. And then there's the big hit of the week, and that is our Great Water Showdown, where everyone brings super soakers and water squirters, and we break up onto teams and have the water showdown. So the goal is that everyone gets the other team wet without getting, themselves wet. But ultimately, the goal, Dr. Ashley, is everyone gets Tish wet.
I'll bet that's the truth.
Oh, yes.
That, do you? I noticed you had the gentleman that came in from the business from Palo Alto, and do you have other businesses involved?
Absolutely. Jed Deaver from Capital One is an engineer at Capital One. My niece told me once, I said, well, what exactly does Jed do? And she said, he fixes the problems no one else can fix.
Okay.
So maybe he should change his job title, yeah. Right? But he came in and talked to the students, and they ask a lot of questions. One of the things that we're trying to get our students to do is to speak up. If you want information, ask questions. You know, advocate for yourself. Ask for what you need. Ask for the information you need. And they did a great job. They ask questions to both Jed and to Tom. And in fact, I had to go over and say, let's give our guests a break for a few minutes.
So what you have is students having access to people in real jobs and in real settings where they can ask questions about them, and they're spending time with the students.
Oh, absolutely. And both offered their emails to students, offered to answer questions. They are incredible partners.
Okay. So how this, you know, you've done robotics first and now the leap. How have your students fared so far?
Well, Dr. Gardner's laughing because I track students to keep up with what they're doing after they come to our academies. So for our robotics, which we had in 3 years, all except for one of our students from DBVI have entered a career pathway. So I have a 98% success rate. And when I say entered a career pathway, that can be by going to two-year college, four-year college, an apprenticeship. It could be credential training or going directly into a job that met their goal. So we are super excited.
You have a number of students who are really doing well on the after they participated in this program, and they seem to keep on the momentum that you guys have gotten.
Oh, absolutely. And one even got to intern for Dr. Gardner this summer.
Exciting. I met him earlier today. What a nice young man. He's very interesting. So to wrap all this up, what we have is a real opportunity for students to come in, learn about themselves, learn a career option that's a very real opportunity for them, plus get their hands on the computers, the developing the websites this time, and the looking at cybersecurity. So they're getting a real-world experience. I love the idea that they can talk to people in the real world. You've got Dr. Gardner here. You've got the gentleman from Cap One and the other gentleman from the cybersecurity firm. So they're really talking to people doing the work. So I think it's a huge opportunity that you've created here for these students, and I hope other students take advantage of it. I do want to thank you both for all you've been doing. This has been an excellent...
It's been a pleasure to come down here and to work with the groups. In fact, if I could just give one more plug, the work we started here in Virginia has led to the opportunity with Department of Homeland Security's CISA agency to actually allow us to take this kind of a focused opportunity for students to a national perspective. And we've got, in addition to this Virginia camp, which is kicking off our summer, we've got camps scheduled in Michigan, in Maine, and in Arkansas that are also going to be running week-long camps based on the model we developed here in Virginia. And that's called Project Access from cyber.org. And it's just been a great privilege to work with the team down here.
Excellent. Well, let's move over and see how Jay's doing.
Okay.
Jay, thanks for coming in to share a little bit with us about your experiences in the robotics and the for Linux. I know you've been back as a mentor. How many times have you come back as a mentor?
I've came back as a mentor 4 times, and I participated in it the first time.
Excellent. So you've been at this for a while.
Yep.
Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what this has meant for you?
Well, a little bit about myself. I graduated from Forest Park High School. It's actually based, I'm pretty sure it has IT programs at the school. I didn't participate in any of the IT programs, and once I was a senior, got in contact with Tish, and she got me in contact with this camp, and ever since then, I haven't looked back.
So you've been focused on that IT stuff?
Yep, IT.
Okay. So what was it about the camp that got you interested in IT?
I want to say just being able to program a robot, being able to build a robot, everything was kind of like hands-on, and also My favorite thing was, even with a disability, they made it, it gave us the ability to do anything we really wanted to do.
What was your favorite part of the camp?
Favorite part of the camp for me, I want to say, just being able to come back and mentor and help other kids recognize that they have superpowers as well.
So that other kids understand that they have opportunities in front of them that they didn't even think about.
Exactly.
Okay. And how about the confidence level? Was this, did this camp give you any confidence?
Oh, for sure. Honestly, not saying I wasn't able to like speak up, but like it allowed me to want to ask more questions, want to be able to public speak, just things like that.
So you got more confidence when you go out and talk to people about stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what are you doing now in school?
Blue Ridge Community College. I'm working on my associate's degree for computer science.
Okay.
And also, I have my CompTIA fundamentals certification.
Oh, good.
And also, right now, I'm working on my Security Plus certification.
So you're doing both certifications and going to the community college?
Yes.
Okay. Did the camp help you get the confidence to do that?
Yes, for sure. Honestly, before that, I didn't even think about going to college for IT.
Okay, what were you thinking about doing?
Wrestling, or maybe even playing football.
Okay. That's a little different than IT.
Definitely.
So what is, if you were talking to somebody else about the reason they should come to the camp, what would you say?
I say, one, the sky is the limit. Never limit yourself. And two, I say, if Tish or anyone gives you the opportunity to come figure out if you could do this or not, take the opportunity. If it doesn't work for you, then it didn't work for you. If it does work for you, keep going.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good advice for just about anybody. Is there anything else that you think about when you think of the camp?
The cafeteria. Great food here.
You like the food? Okay.
Yes.
Well, what else does a person need? But, Jay, we really do appreciate your coming in and talking with us today.
Thank you.
And I'm excited for your future. I think it sounds like you're going to do well for yourself.
Thank you.
Justice, thanks for coming in and talking with us a little bit today about the Leap into Linux and the Robotics Academies. Can you tell us about how you got involved and then what your role is right now?
Sure. So I joined the Academy in 2018 as a student. I joined whenever it was the robotics camp.
Mm-hmm.
I've come back every year that it's been hosted since then as a mentor. And this year I have come back as an intern with cyber.org. in order to be an assistant in the program with Dr. Gardner.
Excellent. So what do you do as a mentor and an intern?
So generally, we just go around and help the students whenever they need help. We've also been setting up a lot of the technology that's needed to be set up. So
you've got your hands immersed in making sure that the technology that's needed for these students is available to them by setting it up and understanding how it all works.
Yes.
When you first came to the camp, what was your impressions of this as a career choice for you?
So I've kind of like known for a very long time that I wanted to go somewhere into computer science.
Mm-hmm.
But coming to the camp really affirmed what area of computer science that I wanted to go into.
So it helped you focus some.
Yes. So whenever I came in, I didn't know whether I wanted to go into something like computer engineering or some IT or hardware-based part of the computing world. But I discovered that I really much prefer programming and the math aspects of it. So that's where I am right now.
Okay.
And Dr. Ashley,
uh-huh.
If I can say, Justice is not just a student and a mentor. Today and yesterday, he became the teacher. The
Ooh.
Student became the teacher.
Excellent.
And he actually taught some of the pieces for Leap into Linux to the other students.
That's pretty exciting. How was that for you, Justice?
Really nerve-wracking.
It is a little nervous first time you jump out into something like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not a very loudly outspoken person, so.
So you had to go outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, and that's sort of what a lot of this has been, is pushing people outside of their comfort zone into places where they might not have ever ventured before. Because in a lot of college settings where students get to work with technology and computers and stuff like that, there is a pretty good chance that they have never been able to experience technology before in like a behind the scenes type of manner. And especially with things like visually impaired students, where there is this general attitude that, oh, well, we'll just do this for you, or we'll just step in for you.
Yeah, other people are going to do all your work because they don't think you can see it.
Yeah, that's been generally what we've been trying to break and showing that students can really do this cybersecurity. Students can really do this technology.
Not only are you opening getting these students to understand what they can do, you're trying to get some of the faculty that might be in other locations to understand that they need to let the students do the work rather than do it for them.
Yeah. Well, okay. Primarily like level of vision or hearing or neurotypicality is not an inhibitor in joining the technology field.
Okay. You said it much nicer than I did. And has this helped you with your confidence?
It certainly has. No, I'm still not... I'm not a very vocal or loud communicator, but it's helped me to become more of a communicator overall. Before this, I lived in the small rurality of Amelia, Virginia, where it's essentially like a hermit for 16 years of my life, right?
Okay.
So
this helped you have the feel comfortable enough to get out and try a bunch of new things, it sounds like.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Justice, we really appreciate you coming in and taking some time to talk with us today. We do appreciate your efforts, and good luck to you. I think Justice is getting ready to go into an interview, so good luck with that.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. We really appreciate you listening in. I think what we had today was an excellent example of how young people with blindness or low vision can be provided opportunities to explore things for themselves and learn what they can do and perhaps screen out a few things they don't want to do, but see that there is a world out there for them to interact in and be successful in. And this has been a very exciting opportunity for me to be a part of it. Thank you for listening in today on The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. I hope you found some information that was useful to you, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode.